and being part of that. What's that, Maddie? What's going on? And so you've heard the stories that have come back about how God's working in incredible ways in ministering to police officers and their families and in the authorities in Costa Rica and also in Ecuador. Ryan, I'm always challenged by some of the things that you have to share. I'm sure you're going to share some new things about the ministry. Are both of you speaking today or just one? Probably so. So it's a joy for me to welcome you to the platform. I'm sure you're going to be challenged, and as always, we'll hear it's important to make Jesus the hero of the story.
There you go. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks a lot, you guys.
Well, good morning. Greetings. And happy Father's Day. It's great to be back at Oakwood and to be sharing with you a little glimpse of what God's doing to change a nation through the public safety officers that have been transformed by the gospel in Costa Rica and Ecuador, as Tim mentioned. And that really is the heartbeat of Tactica. We exist to train and develop future spiritual leaders or heroes for Christ in the public safety community. And on that display behind us, those five emblems or logos represent the five main police organizations in Costa Rica. The federal police, the national police, the prison police, the city police, and the customs police. That's who we work with on a day-to-day basis.
We are so excited to be back at Oakwood. We were looking back at our calendar, scrolling back on our calendar. I think it's been 5 years since we've been here to visit. We wanted to start out this morning by letting Adriana and Miranda just give you a quick 60-second update on what they've been up to and how God's been at work in their life. Out at the entryway by the hand sanitizer station, we have some prayer cards if you guys want to grab one and use that to remind you to be praying for a family. The girls are a little different than our first prayer card, but God's been doing some exciting things. We'll let them share just for a quick second.
Well, good morning. I'm Miranda. I just graduated this year, and I plan to go to Liberty University in the fall to major in elementary education. And this summer, I'm actually working at the Kalamazoo Gospel Mission, and it's been super fun with the children's ministry, and it's been really exciting.
So I've actually been at Liberty University for about a year now, studying nursing. I'll hopefully graduate in 2023. And this summer I've been working at Story Point Assisted Living and Memory Care as a caregiver and nursing aide. So that's been challenging but fun. And I just wanted to thank you guys for all your support. It means a lot to us.
So we know that there are likely some people, some folks here this morning that may not be entirely familiar with our ministry. We started Tactica about 14 years ago, and like Tim mentioned, we are stationed in San Jose, Costa Rica. We provide free tactical and medical training as our platform to be able to share the gospel. And when I say training, we use that investment in order to have a platform and the open door to be able to engage them in conversations about Jesus. In the last 13 years, we've trained in all sorts of topics, but the most important thing is that the gospel has gone out through those trainings, and we've seen just over 5,000 officers come through our doors, come through our training, and many, many officers and their wives and kids have come to Christ. The topics of the training are hugely varied. We have touched on topics such as canine operations and weapon fundamentals, and I have to read the list because it's so lengthy and it's not my expertise area, but tactical medicine and hostage rescue, helicopter operations, search techniques, and the list goes on. But of course, the one component in all of these trainings is a bunch of physical fitness, and these guys do a lot of push-ups until they start arriving on American time and not Tico time.
Yep.
This last year, the Lord really started challenging our hearts in regards to the topic of multiplication. And it was beyond the question of whether or not we in Tactica were serving with excellence in our efforts towards multiplication, but more the question kind of became, are we effective in our efforts to multiply? Because you can do something with excellence yet not be effective. And so we began asking ourselves, is Tactica truly multiplying with effectiveness and efficiency? And that ministry evaluation season ended up being timed perfectly by our sovereign God.
Because during that exact same season, we saw the Lord bring into a very high position and power in Costa Rica a wonderful gentleman who loves the Lord and loves police officers as the new Minister of Public Security. So this is kind of like maybe in a couple decades ago, maybe like a Condoleezza Rice. He's the highest ranking person over law enforcement in the entire country. He has a huge heart for police officers. He has a heart for our ministry, and he has a heart for the future of Costa Rica. But we have to say that we can't get any credit for this. God has completely arranged this situation. But he has a way of just providing us access to crazy relationships that we really would say we have no business having, not just a contact, but a relationship with this individual. And this officer, this minister, he recognizes leadership potential in officers, and that is such an important thing when you want to see multiplication. And he is a man, he's sincere, he has deep integrity, and is someone that we really, really respect. And it is, goes beyond just having his business card, but we've been able to build a relationship with him in such a way that that the Minister Soto now kind of has a trust in us and has a trust in what Ryan would come into his office and share. So we have a great level of communication that's encouraging, and we are able to build into the police department in Costa Rica now at a new level that's kind of a higher level than maybe we'd say like 5 years ago.
So that's his picture up there. His name is Michael Soto, and he's the Minister of Security, so the highest ranking police officer in the nation. And last year, with God stirring in our heart, I remember when he was appointed on TV by the president, it's an appointed position, and texting him and saying, Michael, we need to talk. And just having that opportunity to sit down with him, and we had prepared a real long document, I think it would end up being 20-some pages, about really the concerns and the issues that we've seen now that we've had 13, 14 years of experience in Costa Rica, the things that needed to be changed or adjusted in order for the police to advance, or the police and the law enforcement community. And so we laid that out, and really the passion was that they would have this not just taught by Tactica, but really that we could develop a core group of future leaders that would have this planted in their DNA that could reproduce and multiply, like Gretchen said. And so as he explained it, I remember being in his office, and he had included all of his vice ministers and a lot of his legal staff, and he just let me share. And we shared and we shared and we shared, and we got like 50-some minutes into this conversation, and he was just listening intently, kind of taking notes and listening. And I finally said, so what do you think? I mean, you haven't said anything. What do you feel on this? And he said, you remember what he said?
Yeah, he said, after Ryan finished sharing this whole proposal of, this is where we believe maybe God might be taking your department and how we would love to be a part of the solution. And he says, who am I to say no to something that God is so clearly doing through you and in my country?
And so that very day, the new training strategy was ratified, the approvals were put into motion, and the tactical patrol leader course was born. And out in the entryway, in the foyer, we have some banners, and you can see a banner that kind of describes that.
But above and beyond all of the tactical training that we were discussing with him that we can offer, continue to offer, the most valuable and crucial component of the ministry really is the whole reason why that we are there, and that is to show everybody who Jesus Christ is, and every officer is given a personal police camo Bible to use as the main textbook for our course and as the basis for our future friendship with them. We open God's Word in the course several times a day, and we kind of have like a WANA type system of Bible verse memorization, except they don't get patches for their vests. They get tactical equipment to be used on the job. We have a small group breakout session twice a day, once in the morning, once in the afternoon. But my absolute favorite time of the day is something new that we've implemented in the last couple of years, and that is before we even start the course, immediately after the morning formation, uniforms are inspected, everything's taken care of, and then immediately 25 minutes of silence.
And all of the police officers, all of the American instructors, our translators, and all of our Costa Rican support staff, we all stop. And we find a tree, we find a quiet corner, and we all spend 25 minutes reading God's word and working through a devotional together. And it's one of those things where, you know, you hear your whole life when you're a believer and you're in God's word that God's word doesn't return void. And we believe that. But we have had such an awesome opportunity to not just believe it like cognitively. We have seen it not return void. And that's been so powerful.
And after we began, and I think Tim can testify to this, and Jim, you've been on some trips with us as well, is we've done lots of different devotionals. Think chronological Bible studies, all kinds of different things during those small group time. And last year, as we were kind of, if you followed our newsletter, we were working through some tragedy in our life. We lost both of Gretchen's parents within 4 months, two months of each other, and then this past October, my father. And it was a tough time for us as a family. And God really used that time to work in our hearts. And we talked and brainstormed, what can we do to make that devotional time from our end more effective, more efficient? And it's a very long story, really, but basically what happened was God began to work in Gretchen, and this is one of Gretchen's many hidden secrets. Most of you that have been down or know us, that her outward expression of her talents and abilities usually comes in the form of food. Right? And her cooking. But she is also an incredibly gifted author and writer. And she began to sit down and write a 3-month-long devotional for the Tactical Patrol Leaders course. And we took all those devotions, all those things, all those messages, all those lessons that we've learned, all those topics that we've had to handle and tackle during counseling sessions, and built them into this devotional that walks through God's word, that walks through different gospel messages and challenges in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and all just an enormous amount of information. And the guys and ladies in our courses now do this and walk through this. And that has been an absolute huge blessing. And this, of course, looks pretty fancy, right? All the design and everything. That's because Tactica and Oakwood has the master of design, Mr. Tim Peterson, who always said, we say, Tim, will you be willing to help us and pray through tackling this next project of designing this or doing that? And Tim's like, yeah, let me see what I can do. And he'll send something. It's just my first rough draft. And it's always phenomenal the first time. Always phenomenal. So thanks, Tim. Awesome. Big part of it.
But this environment, this new environment for having deeper conversation and really intentional topics with the officers has produced a deep interest and just a renewed interest in them for them to start digging and having more conversations with us. And can you imagine the utter transformation that could happen even in the United States of America if we had rooms that looked like that with our authorities and our leaders doing that? It has been phenomenal. It's just such an honor to watch this happen, and even more that God would allow us to be a part of it. But we see God changing that country. Tactica has, by God's grace, become a nation-changing ministry, and it's only because of God's power in his word. As we began to reflect in preparation for the summer, we have seen increased fruit. We have seen an increase in just how things work. It has improved, and we have been asking ourselves, so what has been the key to that? What is happening in the ministry that finally we feel like we don't have to tweak it so much, it's kind of starting to work? And some of those things we want to share with you this morning is that we've extended our commitment to the officers. So in the past, I think you may have been familiar with, we did very large courses for a short amount of time, 4 or 5 days long, 120 police officers, really intense, but short. And then the course was done. The American instructors would go back to the United States and we would work on follow-up. Now what we are doing is a 5-month-long investment into only 60 officers. And so we are investing into 60 officers and their wives and kids for 5 months straight. And during that time, you have that first week of the course that we've always had, but you aren't then finished. You always know that the next week and the next month you're going to have more time with them, and you have such an incredible starting block for the next section of the course. And we have seen relationships just like take off because they know that they're still going to have access to quality time and just personalized time with us and with the other officers that they're in the course with. That's been great. The other really, really exciting thing is that God allowed us the last couple of years to now start providing tactical training in churches. So we, not like training for the church, but training the police officers on the church property. We have run out of training sites. It's kind of been a situation we've been having to work through for a few years. And the situation is that, for example, for this last year, 2020, Ryan met with 14 businesses and business owners asking for permission. Can we use your parking lot? Can we use your building? Can we use it on a Saturday when no one's here? And the answer was always no. Who are you training? Police officers. Then no, thank you. Except the local church. And so that has been confirmation to the police officers. Maybe we can listen and open our hearts to the local church because they don't reject us the way that we have experienced sometimes by the community at large. It's been huge. The police officers get to have access and one-on-one time with the pastor, and the pastors come and pray for the course and pray for the officers and are able to tell them, hey, we do church at this time. We got Sunday school at this time. That's been phenomenal. Again, number three, we said this, just this how we've been adjusting the devotional time, which Ryan already touched on. And then we have a new kind of requirement that we're about to be implementing.
And that is we're getting to a point where this multiplication phase is turning. Officers that have been through the course that have come to faith in Christ, and they are now ready to be instructors and to teach their fellow police officers. And so while they are technically and tactically proficient, we also want them to be spiritually proficient. So this next year we're going to be launching in partnership with a local church. It's called Emmanuel Baptist Church right in San Jose, one of our training sites, with the pastor and their group. They actually have a, I can't think of it in English right now, but they have a Bible Institute. There it is. Bible Institute that they train pastors and lay people in mission, everything. And so we're going to be connecting these future leaders into that leadership program, into that discipleship program, and it's called Directions. So please be in prayer for that. So all that stuff was going on, and then, like you, closed to COVID, right? COVID-19 hit. We were actually right in the middle of the course after module 3, and we did not get a chance to finish modules 4 and 5. So those guys, those officers are still waiting. That we're planning to do that in the fall. And we thought to ourselves, how do we move forward? What are we supposed to be doing in this time, right? Everybody's at home. Nobody wants to talk. Everybody has to wear a mask. You can't shake hands. You can't hug. And that is really Latin culture. And you're wearing a mask. You can't see if the person's smiling or scowling at you. It's just really difficult to have relationship in the middle of all of that. And how do we move forward with all these things that we originally had planned that now are not going to happen? So we began to think, and almost immediately, the situation arose that we, from COVID, that the need for police officers on the street level to have personal protective equipment. And you know, I think there were shortages here in America and everything else because we were trying to determine where it was going to go in the hospitals and all that. But there was a huge need there. Officers still were patrolling. They were enforcing curfews and restrictions and all these things without anything. So we began to think, all right, let's take this situation and try to make it good, right? And try to use it for the advancement of the gospel and leverage it for the kingdom. And so through our contacts and hours on the motorcycle, driving around the city, which I'm not complaining because I love the motorcycle, but we were able to find businesses and places where we were able to acquire thousands of gloves, protective gloves, nitrite gloves, and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of masks, and gallons and gallons and gallons of hand gel or sanitizing gel. And we started building packets in gallon-sized Ziploc bags, and we put in there some information about tactic and some Bible verses and just in little encouragement care packages, and we were able to distribute those to officers, of course, following all the rules. We only have 3 to 5 come in at a time, but what a blessing to be able to put that in their hand, that necessary equipment, and at the same time share a little bit about Jesus.
when COVID hit, another issue is that finances were affected almost immediately in the country. And something that we also observed was a huge need simply for food. People didn't have access to food. Even if they had some money to buy the food, they could no longer get to the location where food was being sold because public transportation shut down. You weren't allowed to be on the roads. There's a lot of restrictions that take place in a third world country that we may not have here. For example, according to your license plate, you can't be on the road certain time. You can't be on outside, period, after 5 p.m. Different things that made it difficult. Even if people had $20, they still couldn't get to their rice and beans. And so what we did is we spent one day, and despite the fact that stores had the limit of two bags of rice, two bags of beans, two cans of tuna fish, we said, let's just go to every store we can get to on Saturday. And so we spent all day just hopping from grocery store to grocery store, and we bought two to three of everything that makes up the Costa Rican basic basket of groceries and went to stores all day long. And we were able to provide kind of the setting of almost like a little Walmart inside Tactica, where families could come and they could have 2 weeks' worth of groceries right there without having to get to the store or without having to worry about the timing when it was legal or illegal to be outside. The other thing that was really awesome through these provisions is that we were able to send officers to the border. And we'll talk about why that was necessary. There was a lot of illegal immigration happening at the Nicaragua border, and the severity of COVID there was at a different level, so that was problematic. So the Costa Rican government sent a bunch of thousands of Costa Rican police officers to protect the border, except there was a need again with some food. And so we were able to send food and Bibles up with the officers to the border. But what was cool is then they would be out in the jungle villages and they're coming across people who also don't have food. So now they're sharing the food that we sent with them and the Bibles that they had with these people in the villages. So it was just so cool to see God spreading way beyond what our plan and our little yellow post-it note was. God took it further. The other little mini Walmart that we had is that there was a need not only for food, but with all of these officers being sent to the border, they're officers that typically work in a very urban setting. So they're on city streets. They're in between cement buildings. And now they're suddenly where snakes and rivers are, and they don't have any equipment to spend the night outside in the jungle for 7 days straight. And so it also happened to be completely coincided with a year of incredible provision of donations that God brought in of a lot, like way more than normal, of tactical equipment. And it was just kind of stockpiling. They learned a lot of Bible verses, but they were not learning enough to get rid of 3,000 items. And so when this hit, we put together another little mini Walmart, and there were hundreds of police officers that were able to be outfitted to survive those weeks out in the jungle protecting the Costa Rican border.
Awesome. Take these with you. Good deal. Well, if you want to open your Bible, we're going to take a quick look at a passage here that God's been using and working in my heart. And you can see it up there. It's Mark 12. And while you're looking it up, I'm going to ask you this question. What is life's most important question? If you think you have the answer in your brain, then what is the correct and only answer to that question? Now, I don't certainly claim to know what it is, but this is exactly the question that was posed to Jesus in this passage in Mark chapter 12. And so kind of the scene setting for Mark 12, remember Mark 11 and 12, what we're seeing here, Jesus in the final week of his life, he comes into Jerusalem, his triumphal entry, everybody's screaming, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Then Tuesday we see Jesus in the temple, he witnesses the what's going on with the injustice with the sacrifices being sold, he flips the table and he cleanses the temple. And verse 18 of chapter 11 says, the chief priests and the scribes looked for a way to kill him because they were afraid of him. Then the second half of chapter 11, and it's now Wednesday in that same week, if you're following along that week, we see Jesus demonstrate his bravery, his commitment, his dedication, and his focus as he now goes back into that same temple and he begins to teach. And the Pharisees are trying to trap him, and they start questioning him about his authority. And later in chapter 12, beginning of chapter 12, they question him about paying taxes. They question him about the resurrection. And every time Jesus answers and confounds them with his wisdom. And that's the background for our text. And then we're jumping into chapter 12, verse 28. It says, "One of the scribes came and heard them arguing, and recognizing that he had answered them well, asked him, 'What commandment is the foremost or the greatest of all?'" So this other guy, this other expert in the law that has heard and witnessed all that's going on, now comes to Jesus and is going to throw out one more question. But this is a very different question. This is a very important question. And keep in mind that for the religious leaders, the Jewish Hebrew law had 613 letters. And the religious leaders had a biblical interpretation for every letter. 248 positive, 365 negative commands like don't do this, do that, don't do that, don't allow this. All those things were going on. And this question, they knew it was impossible to answer perfectly. And even they themselves couldn't keep all of these commandments. And so this question, what is the most important one, dominated and consumed every part of their thinking at the time. It was like the theological question for centuries amongst the Jewish people. And so we see in verse 29, Jesus answers, "The foremost," or the greatest, "is, 'Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.'" That's the great Shema of Israel. It's a reference back to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Every Jew memorized this portion of Scripture. Every devout Jew would recite it twice a day. I even remember memorizing it for when we were preparing to go to the mission field as part of a doctrinal support for the Trinity. Verse 30, Jesus follows it with this. He opens with that and follows it with this. There's three parts to his response. "And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." Loving God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Two key words in that that jumped out for me. The word "all." It precedes every one of what we call in Tactica the HMS squared principle. Heart, mind, soul, and strength. It says, love God with all your heart. All your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Anything less is not what God deserves or requires. Not a percentage, not a portion. It's everything you have and everything that you are. That's what's required. Totally devoted to Him. Every part of us. The second part, "your." That sounds pretty normal, and in English it would be "your." But that's not what the reference is here in the original language. "Your" is singular. It's not plural. It's talking about me. It's talking about you. It's talking about us as individuals. It means that take this, what Jesus is saying, and personalize it to your own life. That's what it's talking about. A calling and command to each and every person. So think about it this way. Love your God with all your heart, or all my heart. This is your interior part of you as a person. The core of your being, the seat of your affection, the part of you that knows God on that spiritual plane. Love God with all your mind. This is your intellect, your thoughts, your will, the knowing, thinking, and understanding about God and who He is. The willing of yourself to serve Him. Love God with all your soul. This is your psyche. In the Greek, it refers to your inner being or your desires and your emotions. It is literally your dreams, the inner you that thinks thoughts, that has hopes and creates goals and has ambitions. That's your soul. Love God with all your strength. This is your physical body, your physical capacity, your energy, all your talents, all your capacity, all your strength, all your possessions, all 100% focused on Him, and that even includes incredible shooting techniques and hand-to-hand combat. Everything, all for Him. So, That's the lesson, right? How many of us right now can raise your hand and honestly say they love God in this way? I'm certainly not raising my hand. And this is the beauty that we see in this passage, the complexity and the simplicity of Jesus' words. In our sinfulness, we cannot love God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. It is impossible. In our sinfulness and with our sinful nature, it is simply unachievable. And this is Jesus' point, is the glorious message of the gospel. The exact reason why we need a Savior. Jesus is pointing this out. And in essence, right there in just a couple of verses, Jesus provides a full gospel presentation to the religious leaders and all those in attendance and for us today. But Jesus doesn't just stop there. He finishes with, in verse 31, the second is this, you shall love the neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself. In our sinfulness, again, we can't. We can try, but we can't. And if you don't believe that, look at our world today. Anger, hate, division. It's what's plastered all over the news. It's what's going on everywhere. Because man is trying to do it through legislation. Man is trying to do it in their own humanness. And it's impossible without Christ. That is why. This is the exact reason why we need the power of the Spirit dwelling in us and working through us to demonstrate this type of unconditional love to everyone. And so, it kind of looks like this. I think that came up. Yes. Okay. It looks like this. So Jesus, in his talk here, in his explanation, in his answer, he gives the correct answer and the only answer to this question that these religious leaders have been debating on for hundreds of years. Jesus says, number one, in verses 29 and 30, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Love the God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And so he gives us the vertical beam of the cross. It's a summation of the first four commandments of the Ten Commandments. Then in verse 31, he gives us the horizontal summation, the horizontal beam. Love your neighbor as yourself. And in that, he is demonstrating and showing that this is impossible to do without the cross and without his atoning sacrifice. It is impossible. Everything he does and says drives people to the cross and a work that he's about to do and finish in just a couple of days. And so, as this is going on, he's demonstrating and showing them that our condition is clear. We're born with a sinful nature. Romans 3 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that is what drives us to the gospel. We need a Savior because we can't do it. And so we come to God, we confess that we can never love him and love others the way that he designs and requires. Then we say, God, so I'm asking you to forgive me. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He says, God says, you're forgiven. And he calls us righteous, Romans 3:22. And he pours out his Spirit in us, Titus chapter 3, so that we can love God and love others. Ezekiel and Jeremiah talk about the same process, but they use different terminology. God says that I will put a new heart in them so they will know me and love me. And so through Christ, God gives the believer the new capacity to love him and love others. Now, this doesn't mean that we do it perfectly. Not at all. Because the issue isn't perfection, it's direction. So we purpose out of our love that he's given us and to love him and love others the best way we can by God's grace. And through God's grace. That's how it works. And we don't have time this morning to look at the rest of the story. But basically, this religious leader responds to Jesus and tells him, you're right what you said. You're right what you said. And I'm just going to bring your attention to verse 34. A particular word in a particular phrase. When Jesus saw that he had answered intelligently, referring back to this religious leader. Notice that word, intelligently. He said to him, you are not far from the kingdom of God. After that, no one would venture to ask him any more questions. Intelligently, and you are not far. Those two things. And it's interesting here because the the religious leader, this expert in the law, agreed with Jesus' words, but agreement did not get him into the kingdom of God. The lesson for us today is that we can agree intellectually with the teaching of God's word and not be in the kingdom of God. Jesus is not looking for a mental or an academical assent. He is looking for a full surrender life commitment to him. In Costa Rica, I always tell the police officers that you need to take this knowledge that you have now in your brain, this academic knowledge, and move it to your heart through a grace relationship that you put into practice, knowing Jesus relationally. So the most important question for today, Father's Day, that's what we're celebrating, is have you gone beyond agreement? Have you truly surrendered and committed your life to Christ? Recognizing and knowing that we cannot meet his standard, repenting of your sin and calling him on him for salvation is the correct and only answer. Loving God with your heart, mind, soul, and strength all begins right here at the cross, just like you can see it on the display. Then and only then can we, through his word and guided by his spirit, love him and love others. So you want to answer to all the crisis going on right now? The cross. It's the only answer. It's the only correct answer, and it is the only answer. So I'm going to invite the worship team to come back up to close us in a song, if you're here. And while they're coming up, I'm going to go ahead and close us in prayer today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for today. We thank you for the celebration of fathers. God, you say in your word in 2 Chronicles 7, that if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. God, today we want to humble ourselves before you and ask that you empower us to be fathers, mothers, sons, daughters, grandparents, aunts, uncles, employees, citizens. God, that we would be people guided by your word, empowered by your spirit, who love you and love others with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. We ask for your divine intervention in that process, Lord, in our lives, for our families, for our marriages, and most of all, for our nation. We ask this in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.
Would you stand with us one last time?